This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Please be seated. Oh, don't be seated yet. Let me read first. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' You see, whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." So the 70 went out, and when they returned with joy, they said, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. You see, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, please be seated. Well, grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. These are some powerful readings we have this week. First, our psalm. See, here I'm following some advice. Some while back, in the midst of Bible study, we had a long, great, thorough, lively discussion that probably went off on a tangent or two. And at the end of it, I made some self-disparaging remark to the effect of, "Well, who knows? We'll see what I'll do with this on Sunday. I have no idea what's going to happen." And Kurt Fandry looked at me and he said, "Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just have Bible study? This is pretty great." And I thought, "Well, why not? Why don't I just have Bible study?" So everybody get out your... No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to take out your Bible right now. But I do want to talk about the texts we have today. And usually in our Bible study, we begin with the psalm. And in our psalm today, in these first 9 verses of Psalm 66, we have another great, glorious praise psalm of all the magnificent powers of God. "How awesome are your deeds because of your great strength. Your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down before you, sings to you, sings out your name. Come now and see the works of God. How awesome are God's deeds toward all people." Wow, right? God who turned the sea into dry land so that the people went through the water on foot. And yet, in all of that greatness and power of God, God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip. The greatness of God, silent, making enemies cringe, reigning power over all the nations, moving nature around like it's nothing. And yet, makes sure our little feet won't slip. God is a powerful God. But God works in some pretty surprising ways. Let me grab my water. Daughter Loanna was still in preschool. I went to pick her up one morning. I think maybe I've told this story before, but I trust you will enjoy me one more time, right? Let me do it. I went to pick her up from preschool, and I was running a little late, as you might expect. We had to get across town to get Broar from kindergarten. So preschool was in Minneapolis, kindergarten was in St. Paul, and I was coming from work. Well, maybe it was here. Probably it was here. So, as you can imagine, I'm running a little late, I'm feeling a little harried, and we gotta get moving. So I say to Loanna, okay, Loanna, let's go. Get your stuff, it's time to go. And she goes like this. We're in the middle of the room, so I'm standing there. She ran and hugged me when I got there, which was great. I said, okay, let's get your stuff, it's time to go. So she walked over to this shelf, and she'd stand there like this. And then she'd go and get her boots. And then she'd put on her boots. And I'm sitting there going, okay, come on. All right, that's cute. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, Loanna, let's go. So she'd go and she'd look at that shelf again. And then she'd go and get her coat on and come back out. And I'm going, you gotta be kidding me. We gotta go. Come on. We still got mittens and hats and a backpack too. Are we gonna do this every time? Yes. Yes, we are gonna do this every time. Over. Look at the shelf. Go grab the thing. Over. Look at the shelf. I'm starting to like lose my mind. Trying not to yell in public, you know. So finally I go over to try and hurry things along. And as I walk over there, I look on the other side of the shelf, and what's there but a step-by-step chart of how to get ready to go. Boy, did I feel dumb. Not only dumb, but a little full of myself, because the thing is while I'm sitting there watching her go back and forth and back and forth and wondering, what are you doing? We gotta go, don't you understand? I have places I need to be. We got a schedule to keep to. She was standing there learning, going through that step-by-step process of how to get ready to go. She was putting her education into practice. You guys know what I used to do before I was a pastor, right? I was a preschool teacher. I did this. And yet, there I stood, focused on me, focused on my clock, focused on my time and agenda, paying little attention to the amazing magic that was happening before me. The magic of the developing brain. We place a lot of worth on the wisdom of grown folk, it seems to me. But I gotta tell you, I've met a lot of kids in my life, and I've met a lot of grown folk in my life. I've met a lot of smart kids, and I've met a lot of dumb grown-ups. These kids are at some serious work putting those steps together. These small little feet are making some giant steps. In our stories this morning, we have some examples of people a little like that guy over there. People whose sense of purpose, people whose sense of importance, people whose sense of themselves seems to trump every other possible thing. To begin with, we have the story of Naaman, right? A great man, a man of high favor, a powerful warrior and leader in his community, a trusted person by none other than the king of Aram, Naaman, the powerful Naaman, who also, it turns out, suffers mightily from a pretty terrible skin disease. And when this Jewish slave girl acquired in war, this spoil of war, says to Naaman's wife, if only Naaman would go and see the holy man Elisha, I know the Lord would do marvelous things. Well, I may not do a great job of seeing what's at work in my daughter at preschool, but I know that when my wife tells me something I ought to do, then I ought to probably do it, right? So word gets through Naaman's wife to Naaman to go and see this holy man. Well, Naaman, being a dutiful subject, first asks for a letter of reference from the king, right? Goes to the king of Aram and says, will you please let the king of Israel know that I am coming for healing? So the king of Aram, confusing the situation a little bit, writes a letter to the king of Israel and says, please, king of Israel, cleanse my Naaman. Heal him of this horrible disease. And the king of Israel misunderstands the message of this letter too, and gets mad. Who does he think I am? God? I'm not going to blaspheme God by assuming I can heal this person. This is ridiculous. And he tears his clothes. He's so upset. So, first, the king of Aram asks the king of Israel to heal him, not the holy man that Naaman had asked. Then the king of Israel gets offended, tears his garments, he's so upset. Elijah finally steps in and says, why don't you send the guy to me? See what I can do. The king of Israel says, fine. So Naaman and his group and all of his money, tons of gold and silver, 10 different changes of clothing, and his servants go to find Elisha the prophet, the holy man. And Elisha sends somebody out to talk to Naaman. And that messenger comes out and says, go and wash yourself in the River Jordan 7 times. And Naaman, big, great man, Naaman, this powerful warrior, man of importance, says, excuse me, I can jump into any other better river back home. I don't need to jump in this dirty river. And also, who are you sending a messenger out to talk to me? This is absurd. You could have asked me to do anything. You could have come and told me to do anything. You want me to jump in this dirty water and you can't even tell me yourself. That's ridiculous. And the servants go, excuse me, sir? You know, if he'd asked you to do something really big, you probably would have done it. So why not jump in the river and see what happens? So Naaman does it. And what happens? God happens. That's what happens. Naaman jumps into that water, cleanses himself 7 times, and is miraculously healed. In the story we have from Luke, the sending of the 70 or 72, as some translations say, Jesus equips his followers to do amazing things, sending them out ahead of himself to begin to find more people to follow this incredible path. But first, he says, no money, no bag, no shoes. That's the clincher for me, the no shoes part. Everything. Completely strip yourself of all of your goods, and go to that town that I send you and be subject to the hospitality of those you meet. Set yourself aside. Eat whatever is placed before you. Now, I don't know if any of you are picky eaters. I can be a little bit. I mean, I'm not super picky, but there are some things I just won't eat. You know, I just don't like them, can't stand them, and I won't eat them. Green peas, okay, if we're being honest. Green peas. I can't stand green peas. And I'm not a big fan of sweet potatoes either. But green peas, really. I don't like green peas. Olives. I'm not a big fan of olives, right? But you see, very often, food isn't just about food. Jesus, knowing that there are peculiar things about how people eat. Some of them are rules. Some of them are habits. Some of them are preferences. But God says in Jesus Christ to those followers, go into this town and sit down at that table and eat whatever is put in front of you. Don't look around to the other places, the other houses who probably have better food, better cooking. You know, it looks like a nicer place. Maybe they have a professional that works for them. Go over there. No, don't go there. Go to the one I send you at. And as a matter of fact, when you get there, the first thing you need to do is share the peace. Share the peace. And if they receive it, wonderful. If not, don't worry. It'll come right back to you. Walk into those houses, share that food that is given to you, share the peace, and heal the sick that are there, and spread the good news, and let them know the kingdom of God has come near to you. But then Jesus says, if the welcome isn't so warm, if the people don't want you there, well, kick the dust off your feet. You can be mad about it even, but the message is still the same. The kingdom of God has come near to you. God is at work in ways that we cannot always understand. In us, through us, and outside of us, God's hand is driving things. And our stories this morning, our texts this morning, our lesson from 2 Kings, our gospel word from Luke, and even our psalm are there to remind us that we aren't always the most important person in the room. Even if we are carrying the message of God's love and the kingdom that is coming near, we are not always the most important person in the room. Each of these stories call us to decenter ourselves, to enter into situations and circumstances, leaving our bag and our money and our shoes behind, to eat what is set before us, to heal who is standing in front of us. These stories remind us that no matter the place we walk into, no matter the circumstances we encounter, no matter who we think ourselves to be, we are called to enter into those situations with no demands, no overreactions, offenses, no standing on ceremony, but to enter in and being willing to do what the Lord has told us to do. We are called to walk into any of those situations, every situation, with no ego, no agenda, no desire other than to pay attention to where God is calling us to and where God is calling us from. You see, in our stories this morning, the speakers of the good news, the deliverers of the gospel, aren't the people standing up high in the big pulpit. Aren't the big, majestic, powerful warriors. Aren't the great kings and rulers. They aren't even the disciples. Those who speak the good news in our readings today are the humble. the marginalized, the unexpected. Now it's time for a quiz. Are you ready? In our story in 2 Kings, who delivers the good news? Do you remember? The slave girl, the spoil of war, a young Jewish woman taken during war back away from them into Iran, into this other place under this other leadership to be used for service to this warrior's wife. She brings the good news of healing to Naaman. And when Naaman puffs himself up and refuses to follow the instructions of the messenger of this so-called holy man, who speaks up? The servants. The servants who say to Naaman, maybe just try. Just try it. What do you got to lose? And in Luke's gospel, it isn't the great Paul or Peter or great preachers of the disciples. It isn't even Christ himself, but those 70 followers going out, no shoes, no purse, nothing of their own, sublimating themselves, humbling themselves to the kindness of strangers. And then, my favorite part, when those 70 return, so excited, so amazed at all the incredible work they have just been part of, and empowered, emboldened, and excited even at what they themselves had done. They come to Jesus and they said, "You are not going to believe it. Even the demons did what we said." And Jesus said, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." Ooh, that's kind of a big deal. A little bigger than maybe the demon that I told to walk away. "See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. But nevertheless, do not rejoice at this. Do not boast yourselves. Do not puff yourselves up and think yourself great for being able to do this. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This work that you are called to, that we are called to, Jesus seems to say, is important work. It's holy work. It's powerful work. But that power that flows through you in this work is not yours and never was. This power is God's. That peace that you share upon entering a stranger's house, whether it is received or returned, was not yours. It is the Lord's. For whoever listens to me, listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me, and whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me," Jesus said. We think ourselves something pretty big sometimes. We think our agendas pretty important sometimes. We think our schedule is what's driving the whole world. It ought to, because otherwise, how am I supposed to get done what I need to get done? But sometimes, most times, well, almost all of the time, if we pay enough attention, we might see that sign on the other side of the shelf. We might see the beauty of that brain growing and learning the ways of the world. We might just see how God is active in unexpected voices, in unexpected places. And we just might remember that the power we have is God's. God's power at work in us, through us, and outside of us. And we are called to share in that power so that we might share it as broadly as we can. God comes to us in the big and the small. God is overwhelming, amazing, powerful, and impossible to understand. And yet, that same God does not let our tiny little feet slip. God is awesome. Amen? Amen.